And Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." That passage of Scripture changed meaning this past week for me. Had the opportunity to go down to Atlanta this past week to attend a board meeting with CAS, Christian Arabic Services, and sit in a meeting with Safa. And some of the things there, I'll be honest, were horribly boring when you got to do bylaws and all that. Then we came to the time of the meeting where Safa was able to speak, and he was able to share a little bit what's going on in Egypt. And he started explaining that currently in Egypt, we've heard about all the political uprisings and the battles between Muslim and Christians and some of the deaths that have happened because of it. He says currently there's 56 entities fighting for power of the country because their government is no longer functioning the way it used to. Of the 56 different entities, there's about 10 that are really solid and are powerful and are being backed, that are making some political moves, but there's still chaos over there. One of the directors rose her hand and said, "Safa, of the 10, which one of them would be favorable or most favorable to Christianity?" He said, "Of the 10 most powerful, they want to eliminate Christianity from all of Egypt. None of them are for it. They all are opposed to it, and they will outlaw it and enforce the law." "Well, which ones would permit you to continue functioning?" He looked and says, "Didn't you hear me? None of them. They don't want us here." Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Somebody else raised their hand. "Safa, so does that mean you continue operating the way you are?" "No, we can't." "Are you safe?" "Not really." "Okay, well, you guys are up in age. Because, you saw the picture of Safa up there. I'm not sure if you recognize him. He was in one of the pictures on the left-hand side writing. He's 62, I believe. Well, why don't you just retire and come to the States where it's safe?" Mona's shaking her head. That's his wife. "Ain't happening. God has called us to serve until he returns. Or until we go see him." "Oh. Surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." What I learned that day, it's not about Jesus' returning to us. It's about our continue working for him until we go see him. We're not done until he tells us we're done. So from that board meeting, I walked onto the main hall and was walking down, and from a ways away, I could see Solonik smile. Solonik's ministering in Haiti. And I say, "Hey, Solonik, how you doing?" Got my hug, and we were talking about what's going on. He says, "And you guys will be coming for our anniversary, won't you?" So we're working out the dates with you, Safa. I says, "Well, here's what I want you to do. It's a little different dates." And he starts telling me about when we're going to come. He says, "And Brother Dusty's coming." I said, "Yes, he will." "So, well, if you fly in on Tuesday, he could teach Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and Friday morning, and then he could preach in the crusade on Thursday night and Friday night. Will he be fine with that?" "Of course he will." I said, "Dusty was talking to me. We were asking each other about the demon possession. Is it real?" And I tried to explain to him, when we were there, we've seen it, and believe me, it's real. He says, "Oh, brother, pray for us." He says, "Now the witch doctors are marching around circles all the way around our campus and all around the new property and around where the new medical building is going to be. They want us to fail. They want us to falter. They don't want us to be successful at winning souls for Jesus. They are against us. And he explains some of the death threats that are going on for his life. Safah shared some of the things like that for him, being a Christian leader in a Muslim world. Surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through in life, I'm going to be there with you. I need you to be there with me. So I went on out to lunch and pondered on all these things that I was learning. It was amazing. And this verse kept coming up over and over. And then there's a person in the Bible that really we don't know much about. But their story in three verses of Scripture that we have echoes our lives so very much. See, this person's named Demas, first mentioned in Colossians 4:14. And it simply says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Our dear friend, Demas. What I'm learning, when somebody's a friend, they're friendly, they're on the outside, they're kind, but they're not a part of it. They're on the outside. When you're a friend in ministry, you step back and you watch, go, wow, they're doing a good job over there. And you watch as an outsider. You're not inside, you're not being a part of, you're not serving, but yet when great things happen, you participate and you receive, you get the blessings of what's happening. Salonique tells me when he does food distributions, they have a lot of friends in Haiti. They want the blessing, but they want nothing to do with the work. Sfa has many people that are friends of the ministry. They want to receive a blessing, but not the work. Miami Town, we have many friends of ministry. Many friends of ministry. They want the blessings. They don't want the work. Surely I'll be with you always to the very ends of the age. As you continue your work, you're not done until he comes or till you go see him. But that's what friends do. They watch from the outside. They benefit from your labors. They benefit from what others are doing and do nothing themselves. We have those here. They have them in Haiti. They have them in Egypt. They have them in India where J. Henry is. Friends of the ministry. Demas, my dear friend. But see, being associated to the ministry, you can tell it grew because the next scripture talks about him is over in Philemon. And it simply says, and there's a name in here I won't say because I can't say it, so I'm going to skip it and I'll tell you that. And so do Mark, this person I can't say his name, Demas and Luke. My fellow workers. Hold it. He moved from a friend of ministry, somebody who's on the outside looking in, just receiving the benefits, to one that has moved over and got inside it and says, you know what? I'm going to roll my sleeves up and I'm going to do something for this now. Imagine that in Jesus' ministry, one of the key things he told us to do is we need to be serving others and or loving others as ourselves. We need to be more concerned about the others around us than we need to be about ourselves. And so now when you become a co-worker of ministry, you're serving others. You rolled your sleeves up and you're participating in ministry. It's no longer about you. It's about those around you that you're most concerned about. When I had dinner the other night down there, I had met with Betty and Billy Loft. They were here just a few weeks ago with the praise band. And we got talking about Latin American ministries. And one of the unique things that happened there is during the campus ministry down at one of the universities in Managua, there's a gentleman named Eric Gutierrez, who was a medical doctor that heard about it and got associated with it and came to the Lord through that ministry. Then he became a leader of that ministry while he continued practicing medicine in Nicaragua. Well, a need came up, and I'm like, hey, Eric, we got a small job for you. It's not that big of a deal. You're already gifted. Would you please relocate your family to Spain? Give up your medical practice and become a preacher for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we know Spain's another country, and you're like, you know, 5,000 miles away from home, and yeah, you'll get furlough like every, okay, you've done it twice in the 11 years you've been there, but okay, yeah. Would you just consider going and doing that, sacrificing everything you've built over here and go over here and just serve God? He's been serving there faithfully for, I think, 11 years now, if my memory's right. See, he went from being an outsider to a friend in the ministry to a co-worker in ministry to one that's leading ministry now in a foreign country. And he says, you know, the people are more important than I am. And it's more important that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ than it is about me staying at home with a nice medical practice in Nicaragua. Now, medical practice in Nicaragua is not quite the same as here, but it's not like being a preacher in a foreign country. That is 99.9% Catholic, non-practicing for the most part of it. And they want nothing to do with you and know that you're a total outsider and they will not welcome you into their community. But he does speak Spanish. That's about the only thing he had going for him. He knew the language. See, friends, I mean, the co-workers in ministry start realizing it's not about me, it's about those around me and what I need to be doing for them, how I can participate, how I can take a moment of my time, of my life, and I can give it up for somebody else. Talking about co-workers, if you know anything about Solonik, is he determined that he's not going to slow down that much. And then as he's planning, he goes, you know, we need to take care of the people's needs here in Haiti. So we need to build a medical clinic. And we need somebody to run the medical clinic. He went to his brother and said, hey, you know, you're pretty smart, which all the boys are really smart, to be honest. Why don't you go to medical school over in Port-au-Prince and you come back and then you run the medical facility we're going to build. And hopefully when you're done and it's done, it'll be there at the same time. Okay. His brother's done. The medical facility is underway. Meanwhile, witch doctors are walking around going, I hope you fail, hope you fail, hope you fail. Curse, 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 curse. That's a co-worker. Somebody who rolled their sleeves up and says, it's not about me. See, here at Miami Town, we need people like that. That will take the next step over and say, you know, I see a need. I'm going to help meet it. I'm going to do what I can. I want to see the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ continue on, and I want to do my part. But there's another part. The next scripture, it's a tough one. See, it's found over in Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly, Paul writes. For Demas, he loved this world and has deserted me. See, Demas went from a friend to a co-worker, and then now he has abandoned Paul. He walked away. It got too tough. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I'm done. And he walked away. A week ago, I had the opportunity to go down to KCU, Kentucky Christian University, and speak at their chapel. And this message came to me back in August when I was down there registering my son, and I heard the professors and staff talking about the great students they have. And they also talked about the great students that were there that accepted Jesus, that got involved in ministry, and then disappeared. Left it. Abandoned. When I stood there on the steps in front of the audience, meanwhile, the screen in the back was flashing. You can go up on stage, and it kept flashing. I'm like, I don't want to, but that was another thing. Really distracting, like, you know, squirrel, saying squirrel. My mind ran off, but I'm standing there, and I just looked at him, and I could see him. I see young men and women that are studying to be in the ministry that are going to make a great difference. They're going to serve as Sunday school teachers, elders, deacons, you know, worship leaders, youth ministers, children's ministers, preaching ministers. They're going to serve in many facets. I said, guys, let me tell you something. I said, they won't tell you this here. but you need to know it. When you walk out this door and you start ministry, you're going to find out it's tough. There will be people that will not like you simply because of what you do for a living. They will walk away from you. They will not talk to you. They might start to be a friend with you. And when they find out what you do, they leave you. There will be people that will speak against you, and you cannot defend yourself because the things you know you cannot share because it's private or share with you in confidence, and you have to take a beating for it anyway. You'll make a decision with the best understanding that you have, and there'll be those that will speak against it because it wasn't what they wanted. Ministry's tough. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, there'll be those that won't like how you teach. If you're an elder and you make a decision for the direction of the church, understand there'll be those that will oppose you. If you're a preacher, I guarantee you not everybody's going to like what you have to say from up front. They will question your every decision. Know that going in. But surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus tells us. No matter how difficult your life is going to be, I'm there with you. A few weeks ago, I wrote an email to one of my buddies, the gentleman who introduced me to Jesus Christ back in high school. I shot him a quick email, say, "Hey, how you doing?" I got back an email. He said, "Well, to be honest with you, not so good. I'm unemployed. My daughter had a major illness, is no longer allowed to swim, and my aunt just died of cancer. That's been my past 2 years." So I responded with an email. Says, "Well, I can relate. My wife was on a head-on collision 2 years ago, had to have shoulder surgery, had two herniated discs. My son, a few months later, was hospitalized with only half the blood in his body while I was out of the country. I had to do an emergency flight home. Diagnosed originally with leukemia, but thank God they messed up and it wasn't leukemia. Then my wife got unemployed after going back to work, and my cousin's son committed suicide. That's my past 2 years. God's still on the throne. Ain't life great?" Of course, some of you have made fun of me last week. I made a comment on Facebook saying, you know, whatever the day brings me, I will choose my attitude for the day. And then the phone rang and my son was in a car wreck and told him my car. You're like, you know, that's funny. That's just funny. It's just wrong. But I had to choose. And you know how many people Facebook me says, "So what's your choice? How you doing?" I'm still smiling. It really put in perspective for me in a very real way that bad things are going to happen. Life is going to get tough. And there's other stories I could tell you about, but my friend responded back to me and says, "You can relate. God still is good and God's still on the throne. Praise God." You know, perspective. You know, I'm not like Safa where I have to look out when I step outside, somebody's going to shoot me or they're going to stone me because of my faith that I'm changing the Muslim world and winning thousands to Jesus Christ for him. No, I'm not in Safa's shoes. J. Henry carries a gun in the car because he's been shot at. Bullet hole in the building isn't accidental. Salonique looks out a window and he can see the witch doctors planning and plotting against him. Folks, we have it pretty easy. They're not going to quit until Jesus returns or he calls them home. Period. That's what I heard. Later on in the convention, I was walking around and I saw Mona. From where our room was, where we had a meeting, to the main convention hall was a really, really long walk. It's like, could you lay this place out any worse? There was no shortcuts. There was no throughways. It was walk out and around to get to every place you wanted to be. And when you were someplace, you needed to be in the other place that was on the other side of the building. And I watched her walk. slow, methodical, and with a hobble. Something's wrong with her leg or back. I don't know exactly what's going on with her. She's going to remain faithful no matter how she feels, no matter what's going on physically. She's a faithful woman. His father's knees are bad. He hobbles too. By the way, he'd out-hobble anybody in this room with his schedule. I've got a glimpse of what it was. Some of our guys who went there, they understand. The father's not slowing down. Even, side note, he stepped into an elevator, except the elevator wasn't there, the shaft was. And he fell a full story about a year and a half ago. He's like, oh, cool, now I can sit down and write. Because he had to recover from the injuries. He was put down for like 6-8 weeks. And he wrote instead of preached. Amazing. I would have cried. I'm in a Bible study on Wednesday mornings and one on Wednesday nights, and we've been studying the Gospels. On Wednesday morning, we've been studying the Gospel of John. We just completed reading the entire book of John together and talking about it. On Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Mark. And what we're learning, really unique, is we want to get a real picture of who Jesus is as a person, as he ministered, as he's walking and talking, as he's interacting with people. And he tells a story. It's a story you all know. You know the story about the sowers, the casting of seed. The seed falls in four different places. Where does it fall? You guys got to tell me. It falls on the rocks. Falls on the rocks in three more places. The path, the thorns, and the good soil. Okay. Now, when it falls on the path, what happens? Nope. On the path, there's dirt, and they don't go in. The birds come and eat them. And it's like Satan taking them away. And then the thorns, they grew up and did what? Choked them out. And the rocks, the sun came out and wilted them, scorched them. And in the good soil, what happened? They grew and they produced 60, 80-fold, right? That's what it says. Where are you guys? What are you? Are you good soil? Are you stones? Are you in thorns? Or are you on the path? Where are you at? This happened first service too. I asked that question. Nobody volunteered where they were. Because you know what? A number of times I've taught this and I preached this and I proclaimed this, I just realized something. I've probably done it wrong. Because see, we want to assume, we want to believe that we're the good soil. Let's see, Jesus' word fell on my heart and I believed and I grew up and I sprung up and I'm wonderful and I'm a Christian because of it. See, surely I'm the good soil. So the test is, it says if when it falls on the good soil, it reproduces 40, 60, 80-fold. Where's your production at? Where's the results of your faith? What difference have you made? See, that's what it says. If you're in the good soil, if you are the good soil, you will reproduce 60, 40, 80-fold. Where's the results? I didn't like that when I came to that realization. We want to be the good soil, but most often we're not. Life gets in our way. We're out there and some of them are claiming the gospel and man, we're getting attacked. And things are being said about us and we're being hurt and we're wilting and the sun's scorching and it hurts and we kind of withdraw and we start going, maybe not. Or we get real excited, ooh, let's go Jesus, and we start growing rapidly and all of a sudden life gets in our ways. The distraction, the things that come in our way and it starts choking us out. Our job, you know, I can't serve Jesus. I'm too busy. My job's making me work 1,000 hours a week. Or family. Oh, man. My kid played 14 soccer games. My daughter did gymnastics 14 nights. And I had to go to every one of them. And when I'm all done raising my children, I maybe then will serve the Lord. Possibly, if I still have time, because, you know, I'll be retired and I got to enjoy retirement. You know, I got plans, places to go, people to see, things to do. See, we want to believe we're the good soil, but in reality, we're not, people. We're over in the rocks, and we're over in the thorns. And some of you are even on the path, and Satan just goes, scoop the word out of you, and you're gone. See, I don't want to be a Demas. I don't want to say, the scriptures say, well, you know, Job, he loved the world too much. He's gone. He walked out, he checked out, he turned, walked away from it. Because things got too difficult. I look over at Salonique, Safa, J. Henry, folks serving in Central and South America, over in Ukraine. I got it pretty easy, guys. You got it pretty easy. Got a question for you. How many of you have been to a doctor this past year? Just one time to the doctor this past year. Wow. Bunch of you. Okay. In this room is my guess, about 80% of you have seen a doctor in the past year. Did you know in Haiti, like 95% of the people have never seen a doctor in their life? And we get a sniffle, cold, oh, I need to see a doctor. And we go. I got a boo-boo in my neck, I got this, and we go see a doctor. How about there is no doctor for you to see? Salonique says, I see a need for the people. We're going to build a clinic so that people can see a doctor, so they can get medical help. How many of you go to a dentist? Down in Haiti, they let their teeth rot and fall out. Toothache, pull it out yourself. Ouch. Surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. Guys, we may be in the thorns, we may be on the rocks, but we have the power of God Almighty promising that He is with us and will help us through every situation of life. You just can't quit. You can't be a Demas and walk away from it. We have great examples out there of men and women that are serving that are not quitting, that are making a difference in this world so that the gospel will be advanced. But see, here's what I also know. We have people that quit but still sit in a pew on Sunday. Did you know that? They sit there. I'm a good person. I come to church. And that's all I do. See, the words before, I'll be with you, says go. It's an action. It says you need to be doing something to help advance the gospel, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Period. You need to be actively doing something. Great that you're here. We love it. But that's what friends do. Friends come and sit and watch and receive the benefit of it. And then do nothing for anybody else, which is the basis of the ministry that Jesus put out there. Or some say, well, I know I'm a co-worker. You know, I taught Sunday school. I worked in the nursery. I greeted for a little bit. But I've done my time. And to the very end of the age, when Jesus comes, you're done. If He's not here yet and you're breathing air, you're still working. If you're not, then you quit. And we say, oh, you can insert your name, love the world too much. That's what God's word says. It's not what Joby's just being mean and pointing a finger at us. It's just, I'm telling you what God's word says. You deal with it yourself between you and God. Because it won't stop His coming. And it won't stop the advancement of His gospel. He's going to do it in spite of us.